people have probably been giving advice, solicited and unsolicited, for as long as there have been people. But as far as we know, the first official advice giving happened over 300 years ago in a British magazine called the Athenian Mercury. In the hundreds of years since, advice columns have thrived, as they likely will for as long as humans have advice to give and a place to publish that advice. Our next guest is a big name in the advice column world and joins us for a behind-the-scenes look, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you read advice columns or listen to advice podcasts? What do you get from them? What's your favorite advice column? Is it the one written by Carolyn Hacks? Have you ever submitted a question to one of them? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Carolyn Hacks has been writing an advice column for the Washington Post for just about three decades now. Carolyn, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to get your origin story, Carolyn. How did you become an advice columnist?
By insulting advice columns. I was working for an editor. I was already at the Washington Post as a news editor. And I was working with another editor who was thinking about taking on a new advice column for younger readers under some pressure from her bosses. And so I heard the names that she was considering and I gave my reviews and I didn't. And I said, what you really need is a snotty 30-year-old writing one of these things. And lo and behold, I was 30 and had some snark problems. And I had a column probably within 3 to 5 weeks. I can't remember exactly the turnaround time, but it was pretty quick.
Now, you've evolved the column. It's now not just for younger readers and advice seekers. But were there unique things for, say, I guess it'd be Gen X readers at the time that you thought you could meet the needs of that they weren't getting from some of the longer running advice columns?
I thought so. Now with a little bit of hindsight, I just think what I had was an attitude. And but at the same time, I think just reading things that weren't to me in, you know, to my ear, weren't in our language, was a problem. And I thought that the message wouldn't necessarily get across if it was just a bad fit. And a funny thing is, even with all of the opinionated approaches that I took to what I was doing, I've always believed all along that people are just people. And so I think it was more a matter of what is going to deliver a fairly universal message, but in a targeted or tailored or entertaining way.
Now, people ask you very personal and weighty questions, you know, whether to stay in a marriage, whether to have more kids, how to deal with dysfunctional family dynamics. The list goes on and on. Once you've gotten a question, you've decided this is what you're going to tackle. What's your method? How do you approach it?
Well, I'm just going to stop you for a second. When you list it that way, it sounds impossible. Like, what am I doing? somebody asking me if they should stay in their marriage. Pass. I don't know. but it's funny. Once you get into the mode, once you get into the answering mode, you just sort of you're immersed in it and you believe in it. And I think my method is to approach each question with suggestions for how to think, because I don't think it's necessarily appropriate. I mean, I was just joking about it, but I really don't think it's appropriate for me to say, wow, you got to get out of there. Right. Except in very extreme circumstances, which I do sometimes. But most of the time it's, okay, here's the situation you described to me. Here are the five things I would think about, or here's where I would start this process, or here are the small things that you can do to help you see if you can feel better that way with a very limited reach into your list of changes, and see if that helps. You know, so it's very measured, actually. I try to keep the writing I try to keep the writing loose, but the advice is very conservative, actually.
Carolyn Hacks is with us. Carolyn's been writing an advice column at the Washington Post for about 30 years, just about. You could join in with your questions about what it's like to be an advice columnist. If you read advice columns, Carolyn's or others, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Stephanie is with us in Madison. Stephanie, hi.
Hi there, Rob, and hi, Carolyn Hacks. You are one of my favorite columnists. I just called to basically tell you that. When I heard that there was going to be an advice columnist on this show, I called to find out, and I'm like, oh, yay! I really like the way you approach problems because, you know, you don't preach to people. You don't put yourself above people. Your advice is very intelligent, you know. You look at things that are, here's the situation. These are things you realistically can control or not control. But you're very thoughtful. And you've described keeping your advice conservative, except in like extreme situations and being, you know, looking at ways of thinking about the problem. And I really appreciate that a lot. I mean, I'm dealing with my own stuff right now, but we always are, you know, no matter what. I'm going to turn 74 at the end of this month, and I've been losing my vision and other things. But, you know, I find the advice columns, yours, Ask Amy, the Miss Manners column, I find them very helpful.
Stephanie, thank you so much. Carolyn, Stephanie, clearly, I imagine a lot of people like this find reading your advice columns, maybe others, helpful, even if it isn't their particular question that day.
I hope so. I mean, I want to say thank you. That was a lovely comment. I can't ask for a better reader. I really appreciate that. And I also, aside from the kind words, I feel really seen on sort of what I'm trying to get across. And so, and of course, you never know. I'm having a really one-sided conversation here. I'm just sort of banging away at my laptop. And I can't always know that what I intend is going to be received that way. And so to have somebody recognize that I'm not trying to make pronouncements from on high is really lovely to hear. But now it's... Now I've forgotten the question you asked me.
you answered it. I think that people are getting something out of your column, even if it's, you know, even if Stephanie didn't write the question you answered that day. Yeah.
Right. Well, of course, yes. And there was, I did have an answer in mind for that. So that's why I wanted to circle back to it. but I think that when you were asking me earlier about my approach, and one of the things that I try to keep in mind is that there's always a second answer. So there's the primary answer that addresses the narrow topic that somebody has brought up. But to me, there's always a second answer, which associates that narrow issue with its context. And I think when you start bringing things into context and connecting it to other things, that's when you really start to address other people as well. And also, I think you get it more of the issue if you treat it in context instead of in isolation.
Thanks a lot for the call, Stephanie. We'll go to Fawn now in Madison. Fawn, hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to. I'm kind of like the last column. I colored. Sorry. I just wanted to say. Sorry about that. I just wanted to say. Oh no! Why just when I get on the line, I start to sneeze?
That's the fear of live radio. That coughing fit, Fawn. But it's okay.
Okay. No, I really appreciate
your column. I have this effect
on people. Oh dear. No, I really appreciate your column. I like your approach and your fresh tone, your fresh voice, basically, sounds. I guess that's what you were aiming for from the beginning. And that exactly, you do give advice that is really measured, and it seems to me sensible and sensitive at the same time. And you, with a well-rounded, you know, perspective. Rare have been the occasions I've disagreed with you, or occasionally I wanted to chime in and say, and this, or have you considered this? And I also like that you seem to crowdsource some of your, or you allow readers to chime in online, I suppose, and then, you know, put their two cents in, some of which you excerpt and publish also.
Fawn, thanks a lot for the call. I wanted to bring that up, Carolyn. There's some call and response there. You give your take, and often you'll share other readers' thoughts for the initial question asker.
Yeah, so that comes from a live online chat that I do. And I don't have anybody reading my answers before I post them. So this is truly live, even though I'm slow. I mean, it's sort of live in a tortoise-like kind of way. But there's no net. There's no you know, delay button to make sure I don't say something horrible. So one of the things that's so, I think, different about this chat is I get to have crowdsource corrections as I go, or my incomplete answer that I throw out there in 2 minutes gets completed by reader feedback. And so when we decided to, the decision to include the adapted columns from these transcripts was part of a decision to go daily. And I said, I didn't want to go daily with all new material plus the chats, because I said, then I would be rushing. I want to be able to take my time. And so we did this combination of the three columns that original each week that I take my time with, and then we adapt the transcripts of the chats. And so I decided to preserve the format of my throwing out a possibly complete but more likely incomplete answer that gets completed by other observations. And I don't know, I enjoy it. I don't know if readers appreciate it. Sometimes I get people saying, like, I'm not reading your column to see what other people have to say. But then I also get criticism sometimes that, oh, you know, you never admit you're wrong. I'm like, I bring in other voices almost every column saying, well, I think that, you know, I think there's this perspective also. So I don't know. I think it rounds out what I'm trying to do. And again, which includes acknowledging that how I look at something is not the be all and end all. We're all different. We all come at the same problem in very different ways. And so having somebody else look at it, I think, adds something.
Vaughn, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about advice columns. Our guest is Carolyn Hax, who's been writing an advice column at the Washington Post for pretty near three decades now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you listen to advice podcasts or read advice columns? Do you ever apply what you hear there to your own life? Have you ever written in a question to Carolyn or other advice columnists? Did you get good advice? Do you go way back with advice columns to where you would read them in a newspaper and maybe write back with your own take on it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about advice columns, their popularity, what we can learn from them with the person who writes one. Carolyn Hax is with us. She writes an advice column at the Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for Carolyn about what it's like to write an advice column. If you are a fan of hers or other advice columns or nowadays podcasts or chats or you name it, love to hear your experience, what you like about it. 800-642-1234. Or if you have an old school favorite, the Dear Abbeys or Ann Landers's, join it at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Nick is with us in Beloit. Nick, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I had a weird question about writing for an advice column, which was, do you ever get someone writing in asking you something where you just wonder, why are they asking me this? Who am I to answer this question? And also, I was curious, like, when you have something like that, like, I mean, I know you said that you wrote them more or less live, but is there a certain amount of fear that goes into giving the wrong advice?
Interesting, Nick. Carolyn?
Well, okay, so I'll answer the second one first. I spent a lot of time lying awake at night, especially when I first started doing this, because it is really presumptuous to just take a question that's maybe four paragraphs and say, okay, go do this with your life. I take that very seriously. And I think it's one of the reasons I developed the approach that I have now of just suggesting things for people to think about, because that takes my fingerprints off some things. It gets me out of people's business where I really don't belong. But I think the first part is, it reminds me a little bit of comedy where they say that the way to be funny is to just buy into the bit, just go all in. And I think the advice column is such a bizarre institution. I mean, it is a deeply bizarre institution when you think about it. And For example, I will get people following up with their questions, wondering why I haven't answered it yet. And I'm like, well, you haven't bought into the whole bit. I mean, this is a bunch of people, right? Basically, I think people are writing into the void. I don't think they realistically expect an answer, most of them. And I think it's just a way of just, it's like throwing coins in a fountain. And so what we're doing is more of a, instead of my speaking to somebody asking me a question, I think it's more of a collective experience of we're gonna throw out these things that I think everybody thinks about a little bit or that I'm really struggling with. And I think I don't necessarily want to talk about with my friends. And so I'm going to throw it out there and see if we can get, we can air this public analysis of this issue. And I think that's been borne out in my experience because sometimes when I answer people, they write back and say, oh my gosh, I never expected that this would get answered. And I think that's actually a very normal way of approaching this.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Marcus joins us next in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hey, Rob. So my great uncle Don used to tell me when it comes to advice that I should keep a rake and a broom. And I said, are we doing yard work? He said, no. He said, keep a mental rake and a mental broom. Rake in that which is useful to you and broom the rest. Because it's our own personal responsibility to determine what's right for us. So I think that by providing the advice, people are asking for it, and some might be writing into the void, as you say, but other people might actually, you know, they're actually asking the question, and so, you know, it just provides food for thought, and it's not your responsibility what they, you know, it's their decision that they ultimately make to take the advice or not.
Marcus, thanks
I'm
a lot.
Oh,
good, Carolyn, yeah.
Okay, that's really useful. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to put it above my desk.
Thanks a lot.
I answered you. Now it's not my problem.
Thanks a lot, Marcus. But and that makes me wonder, Carolyn, do you have advice for advice column readers about what to do with your advice or others, how to engage with it in a way that says, okay, yes, I like this. I'm going to question that. I'm going to discard that.
I think you just said it. I think anything we read, though, and I don't think it applies just to advice or my advice or columns or podcasts. I think everything we come across presents us with a filtering challenge. And I think it's a healthy way to approach things where you take what serves you or what is true. Since we want to talk about the broader context, you don't just take the information that serves you best and throw away the rest. I think you look at the big picture for what is correct and what is fair and what is useful and use those pieces. And I think the more that we can gather, the more effectively we can screen and gather the information coming at us, I think the more successful we can be just as people.
Marcus, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Carolyn Hacks is with us. She writes an advice column at the Washington Post talking about advice columns. Carolyn, some things in the old media, whatever you call them, haven't translated well to the internet or have been replaced by a lot of other things. Advice columns. Now, people do go on Reddit and try to crowdsource advice or Quora or whatever. There's a long, long list. But there's clearly still a demand for you and other particular personalities to keep doing this advice column. Why? Why did that that element of our older media stick around and find such appeal online?
I can't say that I know. thank goodness it did. But I think the things that the itches that an advice column satisfies are still there. And I think first of all, I think the advice columns have always been successful based on the voice behind them. And so that's something that, that's something you get with a column, but you don't get with crowdsourcing. Although, again, we go back to the fact that I'm using other people, I'm picking up reader comments. I think actually there are some amazing thinkers and writers out there in my audience, and I love amplifying their voices. But I think that adds to what I'm doing, and it doesn't necessarily say, okay, crowdsourcing is a great alternative to a single voice column, because there's a familiar voice, and if you like the way somebody writes, or if you like the way somebody thinks, it's a familiar and welcoming place. And then the topic is so universal. I guess I'm talking about just being human. It's not, oh, I'm talking about climate or politics or decorating. I mean, this is how we live. This is how we interact with people, and it's endless. The amount of connections we can make to our own lives in one column that might have nothing to do with our lives in particular.
Well, speaking of your voice, we heard from Rit in Madison who couldn't stay on the line. Rit says he's loved your columns for a long time, and his kids, Carolyn, coined the phrase, quote, bringing down the hacks and that refers to saying things with lots of sass. You're a legend now. You are in a phrase in Ritz Valley. How do you feel about that?
I wish you'd been able to stay on because I want to ask him. Like, do they hate me?
I get the sense it's very positive. Yeah, I don't know. No, Ritz a fan, it sounds like. Carolyn, can you leave us in just our last, a little less than a minute now, with a bit of advice when we have that, interpersonal friction in our lives, a starting point to step back and think things through, whether or not we write to an advice column?
Yes. Oh, my God. I think that the happiness is inversely proportional to the number of things you take personally. So if somebody does something awful, if you choose to recognize it as something as their thing and not speaking directly to you, it's very calming. It's just it's a wonderful release. Pure arguments.
It's a great place to leave it. Carolyn, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you again for having me.
That's Carolyn Hacks. Carolyn's been writing an advice column at the Washington Post for a good long time now. She talked with us about how she approaches her work and what we can learn from advice columns. Still time for you to share your favorite advice columns, past or present. Let us know. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.